do. Just, you know me, I love taking an opportunity when I have it. General McInerney, former Lieutenant General of the Air Force. Sir, first of all, welcome to Action Radio. And secondly, if you can address Dr. Pry's question on this drone Air Force, do we have or are we working on such a capability for ourselves here to sort of replace manned aircraft? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Peter. How are you today? Enjoyed
very,
your comment.
Very depressed, but thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, we are trying to get there, but we aren't there. Peter's spot on, and I won't go into each one of the issues, Greg, but he's spot on what a Biden administration would do, and it'll set us back like the 8 years of the Obama administration set us back, particularly with hypersonic weapons and the threats that are imminent, swarms of drones, et cetera. We are not properly prepared for that now. The administration has been working on it. I've got my comments on some of the programs that they're not moving fast enough, but I'll save those for a later date. Maybe Peter and I can get on and discuss it. But
yeah, that'd be great.
Everything Peter said was exactly spot on.
Well, he's one of our favorites here for obvious reasons, and it's just an amazing amount of knowledge. If I could, the only thing I have experience in, I used to be a flight instructor, and from what I've learned from learning about airplanes and military history, the limitations now in military technology for aviation are the pilot. You've got to have space for them. The pilots can only take so many G-forces, whereas a drone doesn't have that limitation. You've got all these things that you don't need to put in an airplane if a pilot's not there. It seems to me the next logical progression to go into drone air forces with supercomputers running whole squadrons. Maybe that's a little futuristic, but just before we get into our election chat, General, is that something that's possible, theoretical, practical, or even workable?
I think, look, it's going to be a balance, Peter. There's so many things in there, but having spent my whole life in the fighter business, and you see what the F-35 is, that's why the F-35 is such and the F-22 are so powerful for us. But a combination, the value of drones, for instance, where they can stay up, like the Global Hawk can stay airborne for 36 hours or so. They don't normally do it. It's 24 hours just because of cycle shifts, et cetera. But when you can put something up and get the dwell time that you want, and all those, so it's how you balance, how we're going to balance the future, which is extremely important. And you're spot on, and we've got to be moving out on that. We've moved quite a bit on the UAVs and with precision weapons, but the hypersonic ones is what really, really concerns me, because it means every sensor that we have, and you hear of all the UAVs we have and the satellites and all these things, and the thousands of objects on the battlefield. That happens to be my business now. I'm in the cloud business on edge clouds. But you have got to ingest, and my system can, every sensor in the battlefield must be connected to a shooter in real time and without saying certain things. We don't have that today. And when you talk about what Peter's been talking about, drones and coming in, it means every one of our sensors must be connected to a shooter so you can take them out in real time. We have a major weakness. And when it's coming in at Mach 5, that's entirely different. And so with a new Space Command, it's got to dramatically change the way it's doing business. I don't want to talk about some of the things here.
No, you don't. I don't want anything that's not, not for public consumption. But, yeah, please, yeah.
Right. But the fact is, just my saying, every sensor must be connected to a shooter in real time has a meaning to it.
Wow. I want to transition to election because I don't want to take all our time or too much more time with this, but I think if I can get you both on, if you two can talk, off the air sometime when you have time, you want to come on and do this, or General McInerney, on your own, if you want, if we can talk about, air technology, I'd love to do that with you. But I want to get to more of the election because that's what's happening right now. Dr. Pry, if you want to stick around, you're welcome to. If you have to go, I understand that too, but I leave the option to you, sir. And thank you for your report.
I'll just listen in. I think what the general has to say is so important. I don't want to get distraction, so I'll just listen in.
Okay. Well, like I say, you can stay on the line as long as you like. General, the first thing I want to do is find out how you got from Air Force to, I guess, what, cyber election fraud is what I'm calling it. How did you make that transition? Just forget a bit of your background from your jobs in the Air Force into, you know, the knowledge that you gained about our election, because I'm really curious.
Well, during Desert Storm, I was a commander in Alaskan Command.
Okay.
And I was watching the war in Alaska in almost near real time electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Norm Schwarzkopf, who was a commander over there, and Norm had stickies on a huge wall, and he would put little stickies manually up for divisions, ground forces, and all that. Senator Murkowski, Frank, came in. It happened the day the war started. I brought him into my bridge, and I sat down, and Frank was kind of a gruff old guy. I was a lot closer to Ted Stevens. But we sit down, and they put up electronically the forces, red over blue. And I look up there, and I say to the senator, "Senator, the war is about to start, if it hasn't started." He looked at me and said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, it's the first time we've ever had two carriers in the Persian Gulf." And obviously, the war did start and everything went on. But it started before then. I can't go into it, but I will. The on the Libyan raid that I was the commander in England, when we attacked Tripoli in April 1986, 15 April to be exact, the chief of staff of the Air Force arrived at my headquarters at Mildenhall, England. I had 3rd Air Force, which was I was commander of all the U.S. Air Forces in England. And I took him over to Lakenheath, where the F-111s were launching to strike. And as I took him over, he briefed the air crews. We came back, and he called the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in my office. It was just Charlie Gabriel, who was the chief of staff, myself, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was Admiral Bill Crowe. We're on a classified phone. We call the Stu-3. And the chief, General Gabriel, says to Admiral Crowe, he said, "Bill, Tom and I have just briefed the air crews. They have stepped," meaning going out to the airplanes, "and everything looks good." And the chairman said to him, "Charlie, do you know they moved the IL-76s? Now, the IL-76s were at Tripoli International, and they were would ferry the terrorists around the Middle East. And the chief of staff of the Air Force looked at me, just he and I in my office. He said, "Tom, did you know they moved the IL-76s? And I said, "No, sir." And so the chief said to Admiral Crowe, "Bill, we didn't know that." And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who was a diesel submariner, said, "Well, do you want to change the target?" Now, the chief looks at me, General Gabriel, and says, "Tom, do you want to change the target?" Well, I knew the crews were already taking off, were taxing for takeoff, and it would be impossible. And I said, "Chief, we aren't changing anything." And he said, "Bill, we're not changing anything." Now, I have no objection to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff getting the daily take, because what had happened, the SR-71s flying out of my base at Mildenhall had come back. They saw that they moved them. But I wasn't informed of it because they were a strategic air command asset just residing on my base. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the president got that data very quickly. Now, I have no objection to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff getting real-time data, but I want the shooters, the people that are going to pull the trigger and do that, I want them to know simultaneously. So I've been on a quest, and I'll get off it because it sounds like I'm preaching for my system.
Oh, this is fascinating.
But I have a system that can gather every sensor in the battlefield down to platoon level, up to Army group level, to carrier group level, et cetera, that can gather those trillions of objects when they're moving in the air, and everybody's hooked to them. and you got some soldiers that will have like an iPhone that will give you information. And so that's my business. So that answers your question, Greg, how I got involved in cyber warfare and the impact. And so 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago yesterday, I got word on the 1st of November, I got word through a source that the Democrats were going to use a classified system called Hammer and Scorecard. Hammer was developed in 2003. It was developed by the CIA to be a what we call a SIGINT, Signals Intelligence System, for radical Islamists. It was very effective. However, when the Obama administration came in 2009, 2 weeks after he came in, John Brennan and Jim Clapper moved the Hammer to a secret CIA facility in Fort Washington, Maryland, and started listening to U.S. citizens. That is a no-no. That is a no-no. The CIA was listening to U.S. citizens. That's not, I'm not going to dwell on that, but that's a no-no. And when they left, I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And so Sunday, I learned about it. I talked to some people, and Steve Bannon put me on his show at 1 or 2 o'clock on Monday, the 2nd of November. And I announced what was going to happen on 3 November, the next day, and what the Democrats were going to do with Hammer and Scorecard. Scorecard is, let's say Hammer is your iPhone, if you will, just for our listeners. And Scorecard is one of the applications you have on your phone, and you hit it, and, you know, you go through things. Well, Scorecard readjusts within 3% the voting tallies, and it has been used in other countries. Let me just put it that way, and I can talk about some of these things because I was never read into the program, so I'm not held accountable for it. It's public knowledge now. That's how I found out. But Scorecard adjusts the balloting, and that's what we can talk about as we get into it. So some people began to, you know, wonder, what was I, a tin hat, or what was going on? But lo and behold, Donald Trump loses the election. Well, he hasn't lost it yet because the votes are not in. And if you look at, it's a little over 3%, the margin that he has lost by. And this is, if you want to go in and do the sniff test, it means Biden did not have one, the largest rally Biden ever had was 14 people in 14 cars and honking their horn. And he never had a press conference that was of any substance where they asked tough questions. Is that the model for future Democrats to win an election? And yet, hear what the president did and the rallies he had and the generation he did with people. It turns out, in reality, we had a God's eye view right now. President Trump won in a landslide. And now we have to prove that, what I just told you. You don't hear much about Hammer and Scorecard anymore. Fox,
we do on this show. We talk about it all the time. Yeah.
Exactly, Greg. Spot on.
Thank you.
Fox News does not let – it was Sidney Powell said it one day on Lou Dobbs on a Friday evening, and all the other times she's been on, she hasn't said it on Fox News. But Fox News was the first network to announce certain things and then to announce they anointed Biden to be president-elect. The election process has not gone through that, the media. And so you see, not only is this the most massive cyber warfare on an election system in history, but it's also the most massive public opinion polling by the mainstream media and all the networks except Newsmax and One America Network. That will allow it on television. But as we start coming in, and I would have been on a little earlier to listen to Peter, but I was going through some of my emails and the crowdsourcing information. Normal American people that is coming in is absolutely phenomenal. Now, the question is, 70% of the Republicans believe today that it was a fixed election. 30% of the people, of the Democrats, believe it. As more information comes out, far more evident, because some of the things, for instance, that of people that are really good with numbers, they are now looking at real time at the data flow and how data would show up. And the fact is that this information is racing against time and how we prove it. I think that the White House, and maybe I'm being optimistic because hope is not a strategy. The fact is I think that they may have so much damning evidence, and I'm convinced because this was such a massive organization that the Democrats had, starting from the time the president came down the golden escalator to right through impeachment, and now the same people are creating this problem. And so I think they had some leaks. And I think if we had a capable system, we got it, and we've got not only the data, because my source watched and told me, for instance, that the DNC was using Hammer on Sunday night, going around doing some checks on things. They proliferated the system so much, and they had so many people involved. And you know, when they, in the last minute balloting, you're hearing it's coming in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, the other places, how they were just driving cars up and unloading ballots. Some of them, which just had the presidential, they didn't do any of the down ballots. I mean, the Republicans won, I think it's 12 seats in the House. If it was such a massive victory for Biden, who got more votes than Obama, which is just not even realistic.
That's laughable.
It's
it really
laughable.
Is. Yeah.
And so we're talking about the sniff test. He's not passing the sniff test. Yet you had Chris Krebs, who was the cyber infrastructure security agency head, who said mm-hmm. it was a perfect election. Well, people that say it's a perfect election, you know, were complicit in the crime. And this
right.
is a crime of treason if you try to take a government down this way. I mean, it is far worse than what happened in other parts of our history. This is the most dramatic. And that's what, listening to the talking heads yesterday and this morning, they're all saying of such a massive scale that you just couldn't do it. It would be beyond belief. Well, because it was so massive, it is going to be very easy to prove it. However, we've got to prove it by 14 December. That's not quite as easy. But when you talk to the people that were doing the ballots and who have already signed affidavits that what happened, and you've got to get enough of them, when you're talking ballots and the way they did it, that was just tactical deception, because the real numbers were trained electronically.
Okay.
We all know when we slide the card in to on our ballot, it then is taken up by the system. And 30 of the states had a system by Dominion Software, which is a known corrupt system with the software. It's got Seidel and Smartmatic. Texas will not use it. Switzerland won't use it. It was very evident that this software from Dominion is flawed, and that's where they did a lot of it. But they also did it, you see, because they moved the data from the Dominion machines into routed it through Spain, Barcelona, and then up to Frankfurt. And special operations forces seized that. It was, turns out it was a CIA facility. Now, why would they route the data to do the servers, process it, and then bring it back to the continental United States?
Yeah, that's one of my questions. Yeah.
But I think it was because on Monday, what I announced on Steve Bannon, and they knew their server farm here in the Port Washington area could mm-hmm. be taken by the FBI or someone, and so they went to their alternative. And that's where Gina Haspel may or may not have been complicit. I do not know. But
okay.
the fact is you notice we had a new Secretary of Defense, Chris
yes.
Miller, replaced Mark Esper. Mark, I think, had a little problem with the Insurrection Act, or I don't know why. But the fact is, Special Operations Forces seized that server, and it was in a commercial place that was really owned by the CIA. Seize those servers. So now you've got hard, concrete yeah. evidence. And I believe the administration is being very patient, letting the mouse play around the mousetrap with the cheese and nibble a little bit and keep doing it, and how they are defending. And even my company that I used to work for, Fox News, for 16 and a half years, led mm-hmm. the charge in this. Does that mean that Fox News is complicit? I think it does. I think
oh.
it does. It's a damn shame, because the evidence on certain people. Now, a lot of the people that just aren't aware of it, they're taking the management's direction. And, of course, it was Rupert Murdoch, who I had a great admiration for, that got together apparently with George Soros and another organization. And George Soros has been funding most of this stuff. But there are enough billionaires in the Democratic Party that have been funding these things. In any case, you see all of a sudden, when you start peeling this back, Greg and Peter, all of a sudden you start seeing you're getting more and more involvement, because it takes a lot of people to do, for instance, what CISA was doing, and what Chris Krebs was saying. You had to bring these people in. You had to bring the people in Fox. Now, Fox was kind of easy, because management tells the anchors what to do. And they haven't told, all of them haven't necessarily bought into it, like Judge Jeanine, if you saw our show on Sunday night. But none of them are mentioning Hammer and Scorecard. That is verboten in Fox. But we know all the others were corrupt. Now, if you go to Newsmax or OANN, you see a different thing. They are discussing. If you go on the radio, like your show, Greg, there's no question you have a good open dialogue, and that's important. So the radio networks are the ones that are getting the data out. And I will say, though, Newsmax and One American Network, I've been on both of them, are listening to different viewpoints and the rationale behind it. Because we've got to have logic. We've got to have what I would say reasonable people to look at this. We cannot let the mainstream media not even discuss it. And that's why what you're doing, Greg, is so vitally important for your listeners to be aware of what's going on in this country. Because if Biden goes in, this will be the last free election this nation sees. When you look at Hammer and Scorecard, when you look at what Dominion and Saito and Smart Meadow have done, we have got to address this fairly. Now, the founding fathers did not have an idea what cyber warfare was. However, in the 2018 election, it's been used before. Pete Sessions, congressman from Texas, won the election on the votes, but they cheated him on the cyber warfare. And he had to use, I believe, they had to use Hammer and Scorecard. I don't think they fully appreciate that. The 30 states that use it did not do their due diligence. And Georgia and Pennsylvania, Michigan. For instance, in Michigan, at 0400 in the morning, 138,000 votes show up electronically, all for guess who? Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
138,000. Zero for President Trump. And now as we go through, and I was just looking at some things that New York Times did, the flow through a lot of these states, and they focused only on the battleground states, and rightly so, because the others, you're not going to change New York, you're not going to change California. But I think they changed. I haven't gotten to it yet. I think they changed the good state of Virginia, in which I live. And because all of a sudden, Virginia, you know, Fox called Virginia 5 minutes after the polls were closed. I couldn't believe it. And the President Trump was leading throughout. And then there was a slug of votes. I haven't spent much time on it because Virginia, we'll get to that in due time. All of a sudden, there was a slug of votes that put Biden in front. And that's an example how hammer and scorecard work. So that takes time to do the analytics, to do the autopsy, if you will. And this will take a good year to go through and do it all. Now, the Dems are going to be trying to destroy it in these Dem-controlled cities, Detroit, Philadelphia, you know them all, where they're so critical. They're going to be destroying a lot of things because they were involved, and Sidney has, Powell has pointed out how people have enriched themselves with it. I think some Republicans have probably used the Dominion system to their advantage. I don't know. Breaking Dominion out and hammer and scorecard is because no one is talking about hammer and scorecard right now. That's how I got involved with it. But then it turns out there are other things that are showing up. They did want to create chaos. The amount of crowdsourcing that I'm getting today and sending out to people is extremely important. Greg, you will be on my list.
Thank you.
I think it's very important.
Yeah.
There's some other people on that list that you don't see, but the fact is
that's okay.
They've hacked my phone, so they're listening to this conversation, and I want them to know whether they want pinstripes or checkered stripes, because they're going to be wearing them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
They have been set up. This is the greatest act of treason against the United States, and the same people, I believe. We've all been wondering, where is John Durham and Bill Barr?
That's on my list of questions. Please feel free.
Well, I think they are gathering more data to bring these same people in, because it's the same people that were involved in the Russian hoax, in the impeachment. It's all the same people. You've got bad judges. Look at Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of bad judges. Look at some of these state judges are just hacks. But these acts that they are taking are desperate, some of the things they're doing. I mean, it is just, it's never happened in our history, for instance, what Judge Sullivan is trying to do to General Flynn and to Sidney Powell. It's never happened at this level that a judge would be so openly corrupt. And so it means, and when you look at Adam Schiff and the rest of them, what they have done, the complicity and the corruption was not only in the Obama administration, Biden, Brennan, Clapper, Comey. We've all seen that. It reaches into the judicial branch, and it had to with those FISA warrants, and it reaches into the legislation. So the Democratic Party, to me, is going to be like the old Chicago Black Sox. They'll never be that again. They are corrupt right down to the core, and the American people must see that. Now, we've got to prove what I'm saying. Came into this 3 weeks ago. voting is not my forte. Talking about drones and a whole host of things is my core business. But because I was able to, with the background in cyber warfare, because of my cloud, edge cloud experience, and moving trillions of objects, intimately familiar, to do what they did was rather easy, except it exposes lots of people. I mean, we're talking thousands of people were involved in their part of this scam. And you know how you, but it takes time to go through the judicial process. People start talking at the lower levels and it moves up and you get to where the leadership is behind it. But it's just so amazing that in 2020, we had a pandemic, we had a presidential election, mm-hmm. we had a whole host of things that enabled these ballots to come in the way, and none of the legislatures approved them, but they had people in government, secretaries of state, et cetera, that were making changes, and you had state judges approving these changes, knowing that it's got to come through a legislature, but because of the pandemic. I think there's enough data question, why did this perfect storm happen at this time? And there's going to be enough evidence, clearly the Chinese, and we all know it came from China, they're mm-hmm. behind it. Now, what is the Chinese involvement in the election? I don't know yet. I haven't had time to figure that out. But I know they were involved one way or the other. I do know that when they find out that President Trump is the winner, that we're going to see Antifa and we're going to see Lives Matter, that has nothing to do with Black Lives. It's a Marxist organization.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to rise up, and I say lock and load. But that's why I believe we have Chris Miller with his special ops experience, but on the Secretary of Defense, because we're going to have to use active duty forces to repel this insurgency. I have been hinted at that the Chinese have been providing weapons to Black Lives Matter and to Antifa. I don't know that. I haven't verified it. Would it surprise me? No, not at all. You see, we have a desperate Democratic Party that they do not want the corruption exposed. It has never happened before, and they have not stopped since the day President Trump came down that and Melania came down the escalator. It has been one thing after the other. What they did with the Russian collusion, I happen to be very familiar with it, knew right away what they were doing, because they used GCHQ, which is the NSA equivalent in Cheltenham in England, and manufactured issues against President Trump or you know, the people that they set up, and not Trump himself, but they used it, because once you got into some of his staff's emails, then you're into the whole Trump's email accounts. And so they knew what Trump was doing during his first campaign. And they used that. They'd send the data. GCHQ would send it to London, or actually it went directly to CIA headquarters. And then John Brennan would send it over to DOJ and the FBI. And so that's how they conceived that. And Mr. Brennan is a very evil man. And, you know, so he voted for a communist the first time he voted. How he ever got in the job? Oops. Well, who put him in that job? A chap by the name of Obama. Why would you put a guy like Brennan in to be the director of the CIA? Now, unfortunately, Gene Haspel was the station chief in London. I used to be the air attaché in London, so I'm intimately familiar. I had three tours in England as the air attaché, as a vice commander of the 111 wing, then as the commander of 3rd Air Force. So I'm intimately familiar with the UK operation. It was very funny that the day that President Trump won, I think it was 8 November, the director of GCHQ resigned or retired. Very interesting, isn't it? So you put all these things together and how they politicized and corrupted our intelligence community and our judicial system, congressional people, et cetera. And it's not without reason that, and that's where I'm coming back to John Durham and the Attorney General Barr, that they are involved and aware of what's going on because it's the same players. And if you can stack all this on them from the time they started till today, I think the world is going to be in for a surprise. And that will rate Donald J. Trump as the greatest president in our history, above Lincoln, who saved the Union. But this is Donald J. Trump will save America if he breaks this open, wide open, like I'm describing it to you, and the way it should be. These are very evil Americans that, as Sydney said, that she's going to be a stalwart. She's got stalwart patriots behind her, and we're not going to bend. We are going to fight for this nation, and the American people have got to understand that if we lose this, it'll be the last election that we win. It's like in Georgia. Don't you think they're not going to use hammer and scorecard as well as Dominion to do that? Sure they are. So they can win those two elections on two flakes that are Marxist, and the American people wouldn't know. They'll think it's fair. No, they have gotten in and they politicized using cyber warfare the polling system and the voting system in America. We cannot let that happen, and they must be exposed, and exposed quickly. This is for the salvation of this nation. It is the most critical time, and people do not understand it. And Greg, that's why it's so very important for you and other programs to discuss this. We must not let it happen.
I can't say what a privilege it is to have you on the show, sir. This has been, it's absolutely amazing. We got more time, but I'm just saying that it just to be able to do this. And this is General Thomas McInerney who's addressing this now. We have 60 countries that have checked in around the world at various times that do listen to this show. We have listeners in Israel, in Germany, in England, Canada, Australia, and I want to, you know, they're watching what's going on here too. I have about 2 pages worth of questions, but let me see if I can get to the main one that you probably haven't been asked before, and that is, you know what's going on. It seems like this is really a good guys and a bad guys scenario, except they're in the intelligence community. They're in our government. They're buried. As I was talking to a previous caller, it's like there's a war going on within our government, but there's no shooting. It's not obvious. It's there. It's all cyber. It's all being done. Was there a way for you, the good guys, to hack the hackers while this election was going on and reverse what they were doing? Do we have that capability, or do you have that? In other words, flip the votes back. As they're flipping votes for Biden, could votes have been flipped back for President Trump?
I think it was done in 2016, and that's why Hillary was so shocked that she didn't win, because they put this system in. And she is complicit in this, and the people around her, and they know who I'm talking about. They're out trying to sell you books. Beware, because you've got fingerprints. And so in answer to your question, yes, it was tried. It was put down. This time, I think it was so massive. Mm-hmm. And this time, I don't know. But I'm thinking that maybe someone decided to say, well, let's let them do it. But let's just record and document to include not only SIGINT, but COMINT.
Mm-hmm. What's
communications
that?
Intelligence. That's okay. Communications intelligence.
What's the difference with SIGINT?
SIGINT's intelligence it does include COMINT. You could put it under it. But
okay.
Specifically, let me just leave it at that. Maybe someone has been documenting this fully.
Isn't that a huge risk, though? They're risking our country and our presidency to sort of, you know, the cat and mouse thing, like you're explaining earlier. They want to catch the people involved, but it's what if they win? You know, it's a huge risk that they've taken rather than just overturn the overturners. If that makes sense.
Well, I know, but say you wanted to prove the things that John and the Attorney General were doing.
Okay.
And you thought, oh boy, it's a little edgy, a little flaky. That was at 5 January meeting in which Biden said, you know, was it a violation of the Hatch Act? That's a little flaky.
Okay.
But if you were aware, because September of 2018, there was a executive order by President Trump on foreign nations interfering with our election.
Yes, I remember that.
And it's a very laborious document on people. 2018, September. Rather interesting. And you start seeing things. Now, our point is, and your point is, who could you trust in our government? Because we know that they have been politicized greatly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's someone I was told in the Pentagon was talking to 100 people in the Pentagon on what they were going to do in the new administration, et cetera, before the election, I think. So we know there's the president has. I've never seen it in our history, how many people, Colonel Vindman, and all these things that they did on the impeachment. I've never seen anything like this. So the Democrats have gone all out. Now, why have they gone all out? You're probably going to ask me, Greg, well, that's great risk. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe there is more dirt, more dangerous things that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Uranium One, for instance.
2015, same time as Dennis Montgomery and the hearings that he had, the disclosures.
Correct.
2015 seems like a key year, isn't it? Okay.
Yes. And look at and so maybe there were a lot of things that went on that Mueller, for instance, brought as the head of the FBI, brought uranium samples to Moscow for Uranium One in the sale. Yet he was the director of the FBI. There were a lot of things that went on that maybe they don't want looked at. And because President Trump wasn't a politician, he kept in a lot of the bad people.
Yeah.
And
we've talked about that with Dr. Fry. Yeah.
They put him in. And we've never seen anything like this in our history.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right; they've taken a risk. But let's finish that scenario that
okay.
I had. Let's say that it is being documented and they're tracking it, and some people that are very popular in American history, et cetera, are going to come out very dirty. But it is so dirty that even they cannot be denied, particularly if you would play some of their phone conversations and do some of the things that can be evidence for people. I don't know that, but it seems to me that because of this massive scale, if the FBI wasn't aware of this, if all these things that were going on, then we have a problem with the FBI.
Well,
I think we have a problem here.
And that's something I didn't understand. The FBI is where the coup comes from, the FISA warrants, the whole thing to overturn the Trump administration. You know, the FBI seems the problem. They don't seem the solution. So when Dennis Montgomery briefed the FBI, you know, it's like you're training them, you know, how to screw over the president, you know, with these new programs and things. Is the FBI even constitutional? Because I don't see a national police force in the Constitution. And should maybe getting rid of some agencies and all the people in them might be part of the solution.
Well, I think it's the rot at the top. But normally if you have the rot at the top, it goes down. Now, that's a separate, you know, that's a separate show someday. But
okay.
The fact is, when you look at this thing and how important it is for them to do their job, if to do what we're talking about would require a lot of people involved. I think we all agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's just no question about it. And that means there are leaks when you got lots of people involved. And they're, you know, they're at the bar, and of course they're not at the bar now. And but they're talking. People talk. And if you've got people listening when you talk, like someone's listening on my phone right now, they are recording it all.
Yeah, welcome to Action Radio. Please call in. We'll talk to you. Yeah.
Like in March.
Who do you think's listening?
March. Well, I don't want to say.
Okay.
But the same people that are after President Trump.
Okay.
And so, you know, these strings come together when you start pulling them. But the fact is, you know, I can see what they've done to my phone and certain things that make it, I've got to be very careful. But the fact is it is alerting them. And I'm the only one, I think, that's talking about it. But I say, with the specificity of what I think that they have done, and it's big boys, it's big names, you know, things just don't happen in a government if it just doesn't happen. It comes from the top and it goes down. So the whole administration that President Trump has had to live with, and the incredible things that he has accomplished, despite being impeached, despite having 3 years of Mueller's investigation, which Mueller himself should be in a striped suit. He should have blown that. He knew right away that it was not Russian collusion. And so, I mean, that's obvious. So they let that happen. They put this nation through $40 million of payments that it cost us, plus the agony and the lack of confidence that people had on President Trump. Yet look at all the things he accomplished. So look at what he's done in the Middle East. Look at what he's done in Asia and with China and all the things that people were taking our jobs and taking this nation. That's why I'd say he's going to be the greatest president since, and even greater than Lincoln, because he's done all these things. But he has had a headwind with inside his government and with inside his bureaucracy that has been phenomenal. And I'm embarrassed by some of the people that have been doing this, and they should too. They're all complicit in it. But I think we're going to find soon. Sydney doesn't speak that way. Remember, she is doing this on her own, pro bono. Nobody's paying Sydney to do the great things that she is doing. She will go down as one of the greatest American women, if not the greatest American woman in our history, for what she is doing and leading the country. But let me let you answer some of the other questions. But it's a very, very critical time that the American public let us open this thing and have transparency. We need to lay it out. And if it means delaying the 14 December date, delay the 14 December date. Do it until we get it right. And that's where we're going to have the Supreme Court come in, because let's face it, some of these judges are not fair and balanced. some of these judges are not fair and balanced. None of the mainstream media is fair and balanced. We know that. I mean, it's so obvious. So we as the average American, people like you, Greg, that can disseminate and get people to come on and discuss the issues and balance them, it is extremely important that we do this. But I believe, and really answer your question, that it is fully documented. I believe it is fully documented in the American people, and that's why it was so important to get that new judge in on the Supreme Court.
Is it possible for the American people to sort of give us something to hang on to publish the correct results of the election? If you've got the mathematicians, you've got the algorithms, you've got the statisticians, you know where the fraud is, you know where the votes were flipped. I mean, this is all the evidence that's going to go before the Supreme Court. But is there a way, without giving away the trade secrets that you have, to say, here's how much Trump won by, here's how much he won in Virginia and in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and Arizona. These are the real results if you take out the vote fraud. Because I think that would be huge for the American people just to say, oh, because it's not, people seem to latch on to numbers as a way to sort of to prove it. And they can say, well, Joe Biden did win because if you take out the fraud, these are the real numbers. Would that be possible?
I think they'll be able to do that.
Okay.
I think they'll be able to do that because it's going to be very obvious when you've got 138,000 and in every one of the states they had these. and the votes like that, these large blocks that came in, will be very easy for the Supreme Court to look at the evidence, and the person that recorded it at the moment will be able to prove to the Supreme Court. And I think the Supreme Court will have to be the eventual, if you will, or I don't know if that's the right way. Maybe each state has to go back and do it themselves. But if they don't do it correctly, and you're not going to get, we know from what's going on in Democratic-run states, they're all in collusion. So it will be very important that we get a fair and honest broker, if you will. And I think that will have to go to the Supreme Court because anything as big as this, it means. And that's why I believe they've got the fingerprints. They've got everything that they're doing. They're recording this phone call. It's like on the 14th of March in 2017, I exposed Hammer and Scorecard being used against the Trump administration. And the next day, Peter Strzok sent to his girlfriend, Lisa Page, that, we've got something. And so they immediately, it was on Dave Janda's radio show, Operation Freedom. And so I know they're listening to this stuff, and they're going to start texting and doing a lot of things. So the fact is, or maybe they won't start texting now. We didn't find this out till 2 years later or so that they'd done it. But it means they're sophisticated, doesn't it? It means they are listening and they've got a lot of assets. But money is not their problem. They can throw money at everything, hire people, and they're doing all this. It is a web of deceit and treasonous web that this nation has never faced before, Greg.
Now, there's so many questions that I have for you. I'd love to have you back. We'll take some time and give you a chance to maybe I'll give you some questions to think about. But if, I was going to let Dr. Pry ask a question. He just left us, unfortunately. Let me ask you a couple of real direct things. Did the Democrats steal the House in 2018 and give us all this nonsense all the way through impeachment? And can we prove that we can overturn that and maybe make the impeachment void, for example?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't gotten to that. There's so many important questions.
Some of the
things
first.
Once you start peeling it back, they're the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Trump and Biden, Obama and Biden, used it in their last election in 2012 to win Florida.
Right. Is there a shadow government under Obama? I mean, are we facing something that big?
Well, it's interesting. He's the first president that moved, what is it, 2 miles or 3 miles or 4 miles to Kalorama from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, isn't it? Why didn't he go back to Chicago?
Yeah.
Why did Valerie Jarrett move in with him? just very interesting. I don't know.
We have a lot of questions to ask. Yeah. We only have a couple of minutes. And first of all, thank you so much for your time, sir. I really appreciate it. And this everything is podcast. It'll be podcast about 5 minutes after we're done. So you'll be able to share it. You know, everybody that's listening will be able to share it. And this is just unbelievable, especially about China, you know, supplying BLM and Antifa. I have to go think about that and do some research there. There's one more question I had for you, and I've sort of lost it. Let me ask you. I'm sorry. I had all this stuff I wanted to do, and there's so many different things. I can't believe forget what I was going to ask you. I know it was the lockdown, the whole coronavirus, and I sent you some materials on this too. The original guidelines in 2007 called for a pandemic severity index. They had a very gradual response to the way that things were supposed to be done during a pandemic. And yet in this one, they changed the guidelines 3 months after Trump took office. Did they know as far back as that they were going to have to incorporate into the fraud, the election fraud, a pandemic component to distract the president, to keep him focused on ventilators instead of, you know, the election fraud that was coming as these Dominion systems came in and the Democrats were courting the vote fraud? This is a big question for 2 minutes, or actually a minute and a half. But how critical was the pandemic government response, the lockdown, to this whole election fraud?
Well, look, I'm guesstimating on this, but the fact is right or wrong, whether it was fortuitous and a perfect storm or whatever, the pandemic helped them do what they wanted.
Okay.
Clearly helped them. Would we all agree? Who was it, that movie star that said the pandemic was a blessing to the Democratic Party? those are the questions, you know, that have to be looked at.
Okay.
But without a doubt, we all agree, because it allowed them to have this mass mailings of voters without being absentee ballots. No chain of accountability. There was no chain of accountability.
It's the hardware component we haven't even talked about, the vote dumps with the software component with Dominion.
Correct.
Less than a minute. What can the American people do? Or do you have contact information you want to give? What can people do to either help or just, you know, stand by and be confident? We have about 30 seconds.
No, don't stand by. Demand to learn more. Demand the mainstream media get people on that will discuss. Demand that we get a full accounting of all these irregularities that happened. And if it means delaying the 14th December, delay it until we get the facts in the American people. Now, it may be that I'm saying, as a course of action will come out, that as Sidney said, Powell, that they will present that evidence, and it will be very conclusive. It will not be inconclusive. But there are too many people involved, I keep saying, Greg, that there were not leaks. And so we'll see. But demand to know, get the facts out.
That's perfect. So we're actually out of time now, but I'll take your materials. I'll present them on the show. If you want to come back anytime without an invitation, feel free. This has been extraordinary. General Thomas McInerney, sir, thank you very much, but we have to go. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction, and I'll be back tomorrow at 7. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Greg. God bless.
God bless you, too.